Maybe I'm crazy, but Aaron Rodgers is new Jon Snow.
Aaron Rodgers is new Kenny from South Park.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh, pretty good. Pretty good.
Maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm not.
Welcome to the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast. I'm Joy Taylor, that's Brandon Newman.
Hola.
Big show today. We have Nate Boyer on, Army veteran, Green Beret, certified tough guy.
Yes. We also, I accidentally said Marine last episode, talking about him. Just want to clarify. I didn't want to clarify it to him because.
Oh, you chose not to tell.
Yeah. He doesn't need to know. Our audience needs to know.
Right. Okay.
I apologize.
It's important.
Get that on wax.
Yes. Okay. Yes, but he is Army.
Yes.
So he joins us today. So obviously we talk a lot about Kaepernick and the Nike ad and all of that. I've got loser power rankings, would it or quit it, Aaron Rodgers, possibly the greatest at going back into the locker room in the most dramatic fashion and then coming back out and being awesome.
Yes.
But we want to start on a somewhat, you know, just a solemn note. It is 9/11.
Yes.
So we want to point that out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a very important day for our country.
Yep.
And we always remember everyone that lost their lives. And, you know, we're all kind of, you know, just like a little solemn and emotional today. So, you know, just want to just extend a little hug through the through the screen or the phone or however you're listening to us.
Yeah.
Because we're all, you know, we're all just Americans. We're all just one big human family,
mm-hmm.
Which we tend to forget these days, which is kind of coincidental that we have Nate Boyer on today.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with Nate. All right. Nate Boyer is joining us.
Yes.
I got to tell you, it's an honor. I'm very happy to have you on. I requested you and I was like, that's probably a long shot, but I'm very happy that you're here on
the
Maybe I'm Crazy
podcast.
I'm a long shot, so it's perfect.
very
awesome.
Good.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yes. Thank you very
You are way tougher than us. You're a Green Beret in the Army. My grandfather was in the Army for 30 years. My cousin still serves in the Army. My uncle served in the Army. My sister's active duty Air Force. Brandon has a long military background as well. His father was Marine.
Yeah, we were both USA members.
Yes, so.
For life.
Yes, for life. USA. Yes, USA for life.
Yes.
Can you? Do you know?
I'm with Allstate, Joe.
Oh, what are you doing?
Is that good?
I got a better deal. That's all. I mean,
you know when I get a better deal, I'm jumping ship.
It's funny that you said that because I did. I will admit, I once looked into other ones, and then I was like, you know what? Their commercials, they seem like it's just like there's no better insurance.
Just the stars. I'm not knocking off.
Yeah.
I just.
They've been very good to me.
Bundle. I got a bundle deal.
It's all about the bundle. Yeah, unless it's cable, because that's a lot.
And you don't need the hardline phone.
You don't need the phone.
I mean, who has a phone anymore?
I want one because I want to hear the ring and I want to ignore it.
I don't ever want to hear a ring, ever. When my phone goes off now, I'm terrified. Like, oh my God. It happened on the show the other day, actually.
What?
Yes.
Did it hit the audio?
It did.
What?
It did, and I did not get shamed for it. It was actually during her line too. Here's what happened.
Segment
so no, because I put my boyfriend Earl. I put his text messages on. There's like some setting where even if I have my phone on silent, his will still come through.
Yes.
But it's on Do Not Disturb. Well, I forgot that like you know I didn't actually put it in Do Not Disturb, so it did the little ding, and then I had a small heart attack. But it was all fine.
Yeah, that's fine. It makes life fun.
Survived.
Yeah, it's a lot of anxiety on live television.
We're talking to him about small heart attacks.
Okay, no. So
basically the same as getting shot at.
No jokes about that.
I'm teasing.
Not at all.
Right.
Not at all. I have high anxiety, so I could never be in a situation like that whatsoever. I'd be the wrong person to put there. But you were talking about right before we started recording that very casually you mentioned that you climb Kilimanjaro every year, like as if like, but you know, that's no big deal.
Yes.
Once a year,
I
don't
want to. It's a clean water project.
Okay.
So that's why you know you got to. That's there, but it's not the most important thing because we do it for clean water in East Africa. So it's actually the organization is called Water Boys. It was started by Chris Long, and
So you climb it with him.
Yeah, I climb it with Chris. We bring other NFL players every year. Last year we had Steven Jackson and Vince Young. The year before we had Connor Barwin. We've had a bunch of other players, but we also bring wounded veterans. So we've had you know single leg amputees that have climbed with us. Kirstie Ennis. Probably being the most prominent because she was she is an above the knee amputee, and she was the first above the knee female amputee to summit Kilimanjaro. You know, she's trying to do Denali and Everest and all these other things. But it's all the reason we do it is because that's a really interesting story, and people are like, wow, what's going on? Why are they doing that? And then they find out about the why, which is clean water. And you know, so far over $1 million have been raised for water wells out there. Every year we go in, we get to be a part of the dedication ceremonies.
And, oh, that's great.
And we go, it's with the, you know, the Maasai people, which is just this beautiful culture. And they're so grateful for just clean water. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's all they want. That's all they need. And it's really cool. It's really special.
What did I tell you? Today's meditation was about gratitude.
Yes, yes.
So there you go. It's all good in the universe.
Perspective is important.
Yes. So are you still a 49ers fan?
I'm still a 49ers fan.
So you didn't have a good start this week.
Yeah. We said we didn't?
No, not so much.
You know what? A grain of salt, because the Vikings are a really good team. We're on the road. We lost Jerick McKinnon and now maybe Marquise, who I played with in college, who's an awesome human being and also a great football player. So with all that being said, we were still in the game. We lost by 8. Jimmy didn't play very well.
You guys were in a lot of games last year, if you remember.
What's that?
You were in a lot of games last year.
We were in a lot of games. Yeah, and we won the last 5, but I mean, a couple of those were throwaways. You know, teams were pumping
Jimmy
the
brakes. Jimmy had to lose a game eventually.
He did have to lose one of them.
Eventually, just, you know.
Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo losing his first game is like Sam Darnold throwing an interception pick 6 on his first pass.
Throw,
you know what I mean? It's like, it's synonymous.
It's going to happen.
There are things that are going to happen.
It's going to happen.
So.
Maybe just, be cognizant of your offseason choices.
Right.
Oh, you know?
Right. Full circle. We were waiting for
now,
this.
You are the first person. Yes. You're the first person because I thought of this.
It's possible.
I think I know what you're alluding to.
Oh, we talking about the date. We're talking about the date.
Let's just get it out there.
We're talking about the date.
Okay. I was not incredibly judgmental of Jimmy G.
I'm not being judgmental. I'm just saying be cognizant of your choices.
But, this is what I said was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with whatever you do. Without two consenting adults do with their time, even if it is the most visible restaurant in all of Hollywood. Where you can paparazzi literally don't even have to wait for you to come out because they can shoot you from the street.
Yes. Other restaurants should have been chosen.
Right. You know, or maybe possibly. Just Postmates. Everyone does it.
Netflix and chill is an option.
Netflix
and chill. That's a choice you can make.
You know, maybe you have these options available to you. Hulu. So, you know, there's options. But the point is, if you're going to do that, you better be pretty consistently good because that's what's going to come up. So you are the first one, Nate, to bring up the date corresponding
from Niners
with
fans.
The
Niners fans are
and you're allowed to because you
paying attention.
You are a Niners fan, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So, hey, you know, it's to each his own. and I still have a lot of belief. I still think it's a really good team and he's a great player and I'm looking forward to the future. It's just, I don't know. It's something to be noted. That's
yes.
all. We'll just leave it there.
So another, a former 49ers quarterback was all over the news last week. Maybe you saw it. The Nike ad.
Mm-hmm. No idea.
It was, it was just a small
Nike
ad. Yeah, exactly.
climbing on a mountain all last week.
Right. So. And everyone freaked out. And then the crash went, you know, the stock went down a little bit. And then, you know, inevitably went back up because it's a $1 billion company that's all over the world. So what was your reaction when you saw the ad?
Well, I'll say first, I mean, maybe the stock went down and all that, but if you look at just on social media alone, the amount of like shares and likes for that ad, I mean, 5 times what they got from anything else, probably in, I don't even know, years, maybe not years, but a long time.
Sure.
I'm not surprised at all. I mean, I think much like maybe a lot of the owner's fear of signing Colin, I think more than anything, that being a business decision and worrying about the bottom line, I think this was, you know, a business decision. And I think it's potentially a very profitable one. There's a lot of people that obviously support that message. And you know, the commercial itself is not, if you watch it and listen to it, it's not about politics at all, really. You know what I mean?
No. Yeah.
And it's not even about, it's nothing to do with what the controversy, I guess, has been over the last couple of years. Obviously, the reason he's the face of the campaign, it has to do with that. But it doesn't really seem to push that narrative to me anyway. I think the only thing from a veteran's perspective and a lot of people in the veteran community that was off-putting is not so much Colin, it was the words sacrifice everything.
Right.
I think that was the thing that hung a lot of people up, and I get that. And I'm not, you know, I'm not surprised by that. But at the same time, like Nike, this is what they do. Like Nike's, they make bold statements. Right. You know what I mean?
Edgy.
They take chances, edgy. Like
just do it. Yeah. It's pretty straightforward.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, just, I don't know. the burning the shoes. It's just like the burning when they burn Cap's jersey after. I mean, it's just silly. And it's a very small percentage of people. I don't think it's representative of
loud minority. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that always happens. Like when someone gets traded or leaves a team or something, like the 10 people that burn a jersey are the ones that are going to go viral. And right. the millions of others who are just like disappointed and then go about with their day right. are what's actually happening.
Right.
And, you know, we're media, so we focus on those little things. To me, I totally understand what you're saying as far as veterans or, you know, families of veterans being reacting to that statement of sacrifice everything. And I think, like, in today's society, it's hard to not overreact to every single word, literally, that is used in or around these controversial situations. Mm-hmm. And it kind of gets balanced with, like, put it in perspective to what he's saying. Like, he's not a veteran. So sacrificing everything to him is sacrificing his career.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody can't be in the military. Everybody right. isn't in the military. That's why we say thank you for your service mm-hmm. and hold you to the highest regard whenever you do sacrifice make the ultimate sacrifice, obviously. So that's sacrificing everything to him. So everything has to be put in perspective. But we don't live in those times anymore. So it, just like you said in your letter, we are like completely divided. And so you connected with Kaepernick. You wrote an open letter to him. It's available everywhere online if you haven't read Nate's letter. And when the controversy started, you were actually the one who advised Kaepernick to kneel instead of sitting, right?
Yep.
So what was your mentality behind that? Like what led you to that suggestion?
I mean, I'll just take you through the week real quick. That week. So, you know, I think the second or third time he had been sitting, but the first time it had garnered a lot of national attention because right. he was finally asked about why. Mm-hmm. And then he said, you know, I'm going to get this a little bit wrong, but basically he said, I'm not going to stand for a flag of a country that oppresses black people and people of color. I believe right. it was something like that.
Yeah.
And so, of course, boom, we're in the middle of the election cycle. It's like mm-hmm. Trump versus Hillary. You know, we're already very divided. And it just was like fuel to the fire for a lot of people on both sides of the issue. And, you know, that was in Green Bay. And the next week they're playing the Chargers in San Diego. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know if that was in Green Bay. I shouldn't say that. That was against the Packers. Right. I can't remember if it was San Francisco or Green Bay. But anyway, playing the Chargers the next week. You know, a couple days after that had happened, I wrote that open letter because I just wanted to calm people down and try to give, you know, my perspective on it, but also help people understand that, like, you're only going to understand your experience and your relationship to whether it's the flag or the anthem or patriotism or whatever. That's all, you know, a product of what you've lived through.
Right.
And we got to be less judgmental and whatever. So put that out there, and Colin actually reached out to me. So the letter kind of took off.
Right.
I was actually about to go on NFL Network, and I was in the green room getting ready to do my first interview about this thing. I was pretty nervous because I feel like now I'm you know, becoming a polarizing figure somewhat.
Right, you're part of the story.
Yeah, part of the story. And people in the veteran community mm-hmm. are starting to divide over this thing too. And that I'm like, I'm trying to hold everything together as much as I can. And his publicist reached out and said he wanted to meet. So the next day, I went down to San Diego and met him in the team hotel on game day before the game. And the interesting facts about the game is it was just maybe a week or two before today, which is September 11th. This was, you know, the 15-year anniversary of 9/11. So that was the last Chargers home game before 9/11. So it was Military Appreciation Day. Mm. They had a flyover. They had Navy SEALs, damn Navy SEALs, jumping into the stadium, like this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And so when we met, you know, we kind of talked about that stuff. And, you know, but we also, you know, more than anything, my mindset going down there was just like, listen to them. You know, don't be judgmental. Don't try to tell them what to do. You don't, because I don't know any better than anybody else.
Right.
And I didn't really have, honestly, I didn't have kneeling in my mind at all going down there. I didn't even think that anything would change. My goal wasn't to make him stand or to do something else. It was just hear him out, have this conversation. You know, he had requested meeting, so I wanted to hear what he had to say. And through our meeting, which was very, very respectful, and, you know, it was funny. It was just like two dudes hanging out. It was not, this, like, in my mind, this momentous shift in America. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like, if it wasn't game day, maybe there would have been a couple beers or something like that. Right. It was just one of those things. And Eric Reed joined us, and we just talked about stuff. And by the end of the conversation, you know, Colin just straight up asked, like, because I'd showed him some messages from veteran buddies of mine that were, some were upset, some were same place as me, just trying to understand why and like open-minded about it and all these things. And he's like, all right, well, you know, what can I do differently in your mind to not hurt the people in your community and in the veteran community, I mean, and to show, you know, to show respect, because at the end of the day, I'm not going to stand. I've committed to that. And until I see, you know, changes, it's just not going to happen. And, you know, we talked about what those measurable changes looked like. And it was so early on in this whole thing, I don't think, you know, he didn't really know. And that's totally fine. It was just like, I'm not there yet. Mm-hmm. This thing's blowing up a lot faster than I thought it would.
Right.
And so, you know, he asked if there was a different way to demonstrate. And I said, I mean, if you're not going to stand, I think, first of all, the most important thing is to be alongside your teammates, because they're not all going to agree with you. You guys are different. I mean, I've fought in wars and on football fields, people next to me, man on my left and right, that we have nothing in common sometimes, but that stuff goes away when it's game time or when you're in a firefight or whatever. And I said, I think that's the most important. And he said, I agree with that. I think I should do something alongside my teammates. And that's when I suggested kneeling. I couldn't think of anything else you could do on the sideline, A, but B, you know, when in our history, at least in my mind, has kneeling ever been seen as disrespectful? You know what I mean? Like, people, you're on a knee when you get knighted back in medieval times. Mm-hmm. You propose to your wife on a knee. You pray on a knee. You know, you, something personal for me, like in the military, often we pay respects to a fallen brother in arms by taking a knee in front of their grave, you know, and not even the military thing, just in general, like that. It's always seen as respectful to me. And
humility.
Humility. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he agreed. And he thought that was, he thought it was actually more powerful than sitting. And so there it went. You know, Eric Reed agreed too and said he was going to kneel that night. And I told him, if you guys are willing to do that, like, I'll stand next to you, you know, and support you. And so that night, you know, the Niners had me on the field and for the kickoff or for the anthem and pregame and everything and until the kickoff. And I stood next to him and Eric while they did that the first time. And, you know, the most bizarre part of this whole thing was there was an African-American sailor in the Navy singing the national anthem, and there was people in the crowd booing at the same time because it wasn't their idea of what you're supposed to, you know. So it was weird. It was a weird situation. I felt nerves through that whole time. There's one of the pictures there. I'm so nervous I got my hand in my pocket, which is a no-no when you're standing for the anthem. You know what I mean? I got my hand in my pocket and I took it out. There's another picture of me with it out because I'm halfway through the anthem. I'm like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? It's squared away here. But it's obviously been polarizing ever since.
Right.
But.
So you know Kaepernick pretty well then. You've been a part of this basically since the beginning. Not through your plan, but...
I wouldn't say I know him pretty well. I mean, we stayed in communication for about a year afterwards, but not like super close communication.
Right.
I mean, I learned a lot about him that day and who he is as a, at least the amount of respect he had for me and the way that situation didn't seem to be manipulated. It wasn't a press opportunity for him.
Right.
There was no media there. It wasn't anything like that.
But you would say, I would ask you then, do you feel like you understand the integrity of what he was trying to do or what he is doing?
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely. So that being said, I mean, you are a veteran. You're a Green Beret. Like, you've, as you said, fought in wars. So nobody's calling into question your patriotism, obviously. So when you see, like, just the vitriol that's put not only on him, but, like, really to anyone who's been a part of this and a step further to anyone who really supports what they're doing, to openly supports them. And you have, you know, the president calling them sons of bitches and, you know, whatever you think of the president. Like, I think most rational people would agree that's not presidential talk in general, whatever your, you know, political affiliations lie, which obviously you're sure, is pretty clear about that.
Yeah.
But
pretty political.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
What, seeing that you were there from the beginning and kind of had a hand in directing how this went, again, not through any intention of your own, really, obviously, from that story, What does that make you feel when you see and read and hear like things that are said about not only Kaepernick but other guys or people who participate in it?
I mean, take the first of all, take the presidential title off of him. Any person that has a platform that would say something like that, you're going to take offense and you're going to stick up for your buddies. You know what I mean? Like if somebody said that about someone in the military, you know what I mean? It's like, and I know the guy, right. I've worked with the guy. Yeah. I'm going to stand up for them, you know, whether I agree with what they're doing or not. Like that's not, we don't do that. You know what I mean? Yeah, and you shouldn't take that. And yeah, I mean, that was a moment. I think he was in the moment speaking to his base and, you know, it was just, it's like he couldn't help himself. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was like,
he gets up there and freestyles for whatever. Sure. I mean, I feel like he's using the one place in America, obviously in the military, race doesn't matter when you're fighting in a firefight with your boys and your brothers and your sisters in arms and fighting for America. But football, sports, locker rooms is the one place in America where Republicans and Democrats, regardless, you'll die for your brother. You'll fight for your brother. And I feel like Trump is smart in the sense of manipulating people. And I feel like he's using a place where Americans, regardless of political affiliation, are coming together and using that place to try to divide, to just gain his constituency. I just see that happen. And that's why I feel like there's been this war on football in a certain extent, just to put people against the thing that is actually unifying us.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's been a tough one too, with just the idea of what being patriotic is, because now in this day and age, I feel like it's almost a bad word sometimes. You know, if you're patriotic or even if you have conservative values,
right,
it's like that makes you a racist or somebody that is not open-minded, right, or just, and, you know, we're putting each other in boxes, right, and
everything's binary.
Yeah, everything's binary. That's a good way of putting it. And that's really frustrating. That's really, it's frustrating as a member of the military community, which is the most diverse microcosm in the country, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are all over the map. You know, I mean, we're from everywhere. We believe everything.
Right.
Men, women, totally different circumstances, situations, upbringings. And we kind of put all that stuff aside and work together for the most part. You know, we don't always like each other. We don't, definitely don't always agree with each other, but we can move past that. And it's a lesson that I think our country needs right now. But yes, football, sports in general, it's one of those unifying things. I mean, what I love about football games, like, and I mentioned this, I wrote something recently about this, and like, we don't even talk to our neighbors. You know what I mean? Mm. We don't. We go to a game though.
Yeah.
I have no idea who you are. Right. You're sitting next to me. Yeah. If you're wearing Niner stuff or whatever, right, and we score, like, we're hugging. Yeah, we're high five. Exactly. We don't care. You know, right, what I mean? We don't care. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome. You know what I mean? And that's amazing. And I definitely don't want to lose that through all of this. And you know, I think we haven't lost it, and we won't. It's too powerful.
Well, yeah, I mean, you were a football player. Like, you were a long snapper for the University of Texas and had a tryout with the Niners and were with the Seahawks in preseason. So it's funny that you say it's like a war on football. That is kind of how it feels. And like now, when we talk about the NBA being kind of like the anti-football, you know, they're like very social media heavy, mm-hmm, and they're very supportive of their stars. And then you kind of have the NFL, who's at this, like, for lack of a battle with the players. And then, you know, Cap has the collusion case. So
I think the NFL has a more conservative fan base, though. I think
I've always said that. I've always argued that. And I don't think that's going to change.
Versus the NBA.
Right. Versus the NBA. But the NFL also has a bigger audience. So true. You're going to have more of that, just, you know, talking about microcosms, just expanding, like the NFL. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not even internationally, because I think the NBA is bigger internationally because they don't play football all over the world. They do play basketball all over the world.
Right.
But my bigger point is, like, the idea that, like, owners have the mentality of, you know, you have to do what I say and you have to protest this way, and, you know, kind of being afraid of what Trump is saying and what maybe their conservative fans are saying. Like, if you were to get in a room with the owners, which the players have done, trying to negotiate, like, what's the policy for proper anthem etiquette, you know, which sounds ridiculous anyway. It's right. What would be your advice for the NFL? Like, you're in a room right now. It's Roger Goodell. It's all the owners.
Jerry Jones
and it's like,
is right
yeah,
there.
Jerry's right there.
Robert.
Yeah.
Kraft.
Yeah.
Everyone's there.
Everyone's there. Jerry and Robert are there.
Well, the wrinkled faces.
What's your, and they have to do whatever you say.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Yes. Whatever you say, like, no, you're going to determine.
Power, sir.
Yes. Okay, they don't have to do what you say, but like this is your final word to them. Like, this is what you should do. This is what I believe will never make everybody happy, but like we'll address the situation appropriately.
I think my first question would be is where are all the players in this meeting? Where are the players?
The players' representatives are in the
they
room.
Have to be. Well, that meeting they had, the last one they had, where they came up with that policy and then they backpedaled on it. There was no players in that meeting. It was
insane.
So in this hypothetical scenario, there are player representatives
in this scenario. Yeah. The NFL is smart enough to add players as well.
I don't want that power.
The NFLPA is there as well. Because what I would say is this is my suggestion, but I'm more of a democratic person when it comes to these things. Like, you have a vast amount of diversity in not only the fan base, but sponsors and fans, like players.
Yes.
This is all about America. All right. It's America's game. Right. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to please everybody. That if you try to make everybody happy, you will make no one happy.
True.
So my mentality is have the players come up with a solution, have the owners come up with a solution, mush it together. Find something that you guys vote on. You know, there was a time when we voted on things in this country and it was actually on the up and up. So just do that.
True.
And then go with whatever policy that is. And to me, it's like, what frustrates me, and like I said, I'm a military family as well, is that it's the whole thing has been made as an attack on the military, an attack on the flag. And I say this every time. The players never even used to come out for the national anthem. Mm-mm. They didn't even come out up until recently.
Yeah. Like, college football, they still don't.
Right. So it's like this whole mentality has kind of been like circulated off like meme news. You know, like nobody actually does any research on what's actually happening. So to me, it's frustrating when the answer is always like, well, you're disrespecting the military. Like, you can respect the military. You can love your country. And you can also say, hey, I don't think it's okay that a bad cop shot an innocent, unarmed black man in the back. They don't all have to be mutually exclusive. So that's what I get frustrated when people are so hardcore lined about it. Like, you don't have to pick and choose a side on this. If there's bad lawyers, they get disbarred. If there's a bad doctor, they lose their license. If it's a bad cop, they shouldn't be patrolling the streets with a gun. I don't think that's unfair.
I don't agree. Or I don't disagree.
Soundbite. No. My dad, obviously, he was a former homicide detective as well in Detroit. And his big thing during all of the slew of unarmed black men killed by police officers was these men were not in the military. He kept preaching that the standards for police officers in America have lowered because you need more people to wear the badge to protect and serve. And the lack of military training from these police officers is why you're bringing preconceived notions and prejudices to the job that people in the military have been stripped from them from going through real life-threatening things together with people who don't look like them, and they're trying to fight for America. So I'm with you, and the thought of kneeling being a negative thing is crazy. Like, what NFL team doesn't kneel to talk to the coach after every practice? Like,
somebody's hurt on the field.
Hurt on the field. It's always an act of respect. It's always you're always humbling yourself. You're lowering yourself. You're coming down. It's humbling. So the attack on the act of kneeling just seems so easy and lazy. And it's a tweet after a tweet. And I just worry we're not thinking honestly and truly about what we feel as people, like what's going to be the best for Americans and moving forward, because it just feels like we're moving backwards. And I hate that you were a huge part of fixing things, and just because of own narratives and things that people want to perpetuate, regardless of what the truth of the matter is, people just still want to be divided.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and to be fair, even from a military perspective, from a veteran perspective, like, we make mistakes overseas. We're not perfect. And we're always, you know, everyone's always, thank you for your service, you're a hero. I'm like, yes, but I mean, maybe.
Right.
there's people that have made that, you know, so it's not as cut and dried and as binary with that either. But at the same time, like, when it's not right, when something's, when the mistakes are made, like, you have to fix them. You have to be all about that. You can't always just say, well, it's okay to make a mistake sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it happens, but it's not okay. It's not okay. You know what I mean? Sam right. Darnold throws a pick six on the first play of the game. It happens. Mm-hmm. But what are you going to do to bounce back from that and like right. fix that? So every time this is happening, regardless of the numbers, I mean, people will throw stats around all day long. Well, it's only this; it's a very small percentage of unarmed black men that are okay. Was an unarmed black man killed? Yes. I don't care what color he is. Was a person killed that shouldn't have been killed? Like, all right, it needs to be addressed. It needs to be fixed. It doesn't need to be just put to the side or said, like, well, these things happen, sometimes right. you break eggs. Like, okay, well, tell that to the mother. Tell right. that to the brother.
Yeah, and that's really that's the beginning. That's the genesis of all of this, is that it's not this that it's happening. Like, it's been happening forever. Like, hello, there was slavery. Like, there was unarmed black people right. being killed for a pretty long time in this country.
Right.
The point that Kaepernick is trying to make is that there's an injustice. People are going to be killed. Good people are going to be killed. Bad people are going to be killed. That's reality. That's life. There's no justice. That's mm-hmm. really what the whole point of it is. Yeah. Nobody's saying that they're going to end anything. You're not going to end racism. You're not going to end murders. Like, there's prisons.
There's no utopia.
Right.
No.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But the point is that there needs to be progression. And that was the point of all of it.
Especially in our country. Like, that's what right. we are about. It's what we've always been about. We've made a million mistakes in this mm-hmm. country's history. Like, terrible ones. But I feel like over time we have improved. We've tried to fix those things. We always do, for the most part. Most people are all about, like, let's fix this, move forward. That was awful. That was a terrible decision.
Right. Let's not repeat our mistakes.
No. Yeah. And let's, like you said, let's not move backwards.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. So, okay. So coincidentally, it's 9/11, and that's a time where we always like try to think about what it's like when we all come together over something, controversial or traumatic. So you don't want to address the owners. You don't want that responsibility. But if you could get a message to, say, the person who maybe not necessarily is burning their Nikes, because I think that person's probably a little too far gone, but just someone who's like, I really find everything about what Kaepernick does is offensive. Say they're not in the military and they're just so offended by the idea of it because they think it's an attack on our military and like an attack on our country, and they're not understanding what it is. What would you tell that person?
Well, I'd say most of those people, I think they're just reading headlines, first of all. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the headlines focus on protesting the anthem, not a protest during the anthem of something else, right? Right? Police brutality,
right.
of
which is important. It's wording,
right. Yeah, the criminal justice system, all these things, like, that is very important. But also to just assume, to put all of us in the veteran community in a box and assume that we all think the same way and we all feel the same way, that's generalizing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not dangerous. Racist because we're not a race,
right?
But it's along those lines of like
it's stereotyping.
Yeah, stereotyping. Sure. Thank you. That's a much better word. Of assuming because I wear camouflage, I feel this way, and that the flag and the anthem, the symbols, which are very important to me, but the symbols are more important than the Constitution, which is false. The oath we take when we join the military is an oath to defend the Constitution. Mm. And the First Amendment in the Constitution is free speech, And so that's what it is right there. I defend, talking about burning Nikes, I defend the person that would burn an American flag right in front of me. I hate it. It hurts. But I fought for that right. I fought for those freedoms. And all of us did, whether we like it or not. And I think more people in the veteran community, way more people in the veteran community, understand that and support that than these people that didn't serve, that just assume or use veterans as like,
Scapegoat.
Yeah, thank you.
Right, for their own opinion. So you do something pretty cool with Jay Glazer, who's in the Fox family. What's up, Jay? Yeah. And I saw that you work out at his performance center.
Yeah, Unbreakable.
Unbreakable, yep. Yeah. I did a few classes there. I'm not really cut out for that stuff. I'm more of like a yoga person.
Okay.
I gotta get in there.
The circuit classes, I can't
you
do it.
You gotta get in there.
I gotta get in there.
It's the heart rate thing,
Well, you gotta come to MVP on Wednesday
yes.
nights.
Yes. Okay. So tell us about this. Please. That's, okay. that's yeah. why I brought it up.
So MVP stands for Merging Vets and Players. What we're bringing is we're bringing together former professional athletes and combat veterans, and helping them find service and purpose together once the uniform comes off. Obviously, what we did on the battlefield, on the football field, or the or in the octagon or whatever. completely different, but those locker rooms, I will tell you, those locker rooms are the same. You know what I mean? It's the same type of brotherhood. It's the same type of, I don't care where you're from. Right. You know, you get over that stuff. But also, the careers end typically pretty young. Mm. A lot of life left to live, and you've hit this high of, like, you know, feeling maybe I will never do anything as important as I did before. Tony Gonzalez was in just a month ago and sat in on one of our – every Wednesday night we meet at the gym. We train together, and then we kind of fellowship and have, like, a fireside chat on the wrestling mats afterwards and just talk about stuff. You know, guys, it's like a sounding board. People just let stuff off. You know, we're all kind of coaching each other up. And Tony was sitting there talking about – sorry to call him out here, but, you know, maybe he's saving the story for another day.
It's too late. He's a Fox family member, too. It's fine.
Exactly. Yeah. It's fine. It's fine. Tell him whatever he said. Yeah. We leave it all on the mats except for Tony's
except
stuff.
For
I blast that everywhere.
Stories everywhere. Yes.
But he was talking about – you know, he played, I think, 17 years, obviously Hall of Famer, you know, best, probably the best tight end that ever played the game. And he said it was 3 months after he got done playing. He was on vacation with his wife. It's supposed to be this, you know, great time. Finally, like, we have some free time. We can just be and, you know, move on with our futures and relax and have this time together. And he was like a wreck, you know, and she knew something was up. And they were at dinner one night and he just, like, broke down in the middle of this restaurant and just started crying. She was like, "What's going on?" He's like, "I'll never be great again." He's like, "It's just like I'm trying to figure out what this feeling has been, and that's what it is." And he said it was just, I mean, it's really, it's hard. It's traumatic, you know. It's obviously, it's different than, serving your country, but those feelings are the same, I promise you. It's just, it's more about, purpose.
And, it's a complete change of identity.
Yeah.
And you have to reinvent yourself.
And you're a part of this machine, but you're a part of something that's important, that matters to a lot of people.
Bigger than you.
You have to sacrifice a lot. I'm sorry, but you do have to sacrifice a lot to be a professional athlete. You sacrifice a lot, and you had to put a lot of time in, especially to be the best and to be great, no matter how talented you are. And then it's all over, and there's this feeling, even though it's not true, but you feel like nobody cares anymore. Nobody gives a damn about me. And, you know, I'll never peak. I've already peaked. I've got, you know, 2/3 of my life left to live, and it's done or whatever. And it's just not true, you know? And so what we're all about at MVP is not only reminding each other of who we are, what we're capable of, but, like, pushing each other to find that next, to find that next goal, you know, to chase that, whatever the new carrot is. Like, we all have something in our lives that we want to do, that we're passionate about, and, like, utilizing all the skills you acquired, whether it was in the military or on a, you know, in sports, to achieve those things, you know what I mean? Or at least chase them, even if you never achieve them. Like, that was the most fun to me always, in sports. It wasn't so much like making the team or getting on the field. It was like, I really do, like, you talk about embrace the grind and all that stuff. Yeah. Like, it's hard when you're doing it, but when you look back after you win that starting job or whatever, and you look back, what meant the most to you was all that time you put in, you know what I mean? And chasing that dream. And then, you know, that's still who we are. We're not the uniform we were, you know what I mean? Right. We're the person that sacrificed so much to get to that level, you know what I mean? And we're still that person. We just got to remember it.
People criticize moving the goalposts, but in life, that's what it's all about, right? Like, once you get up there and you dunk on the goalposts because you already scored, you got to go for your next goal. You got to keep pushing it forward. So it's great that you guys are coming together and, like, just realizing each other's goals and encouraging each other to get to them.
It's been amazing.
Yeah, I mean, come
we started in LA.
I'm willing to get my heart rate up because you sold it.
Yes, you got to.
You got
to.
You know, it's like, I do hot yoga, right? So it's like, you know, it's a slow. I told you, the anxiety thing. It's good.
Hot yoga. It feels like hot yoga in here.
It is so sweaty.
It is so hot.
I apologize. It's very hot.
We put up this great. We did this just for you.
So we could hide the thermostat.
Right.
And,
thermostat is behind.
The thermostat is behind this.
We got to cut a wall in there.
It's really. You know what? I think we do have to do that. That's the first good idea you've ever had. And I think let's write that.
Ever.
Because we really do. It's been so hot in here the past couple days. So you can find out about that at vetsandplayers.org and follow them at Merging Vets and Players.
Yep. We started in LA. We got a Vegas chapter. We just opened in Chicago too.
Awesome.
The player engagement people at the NFL made us a very nice donation to expand, and our goal is every NFL city. So
that's great.
We'll get there.
That's great. So are you doing it this Wednesday?
This Wednesday, 7 p.m. Unbreakable Performance Center.
That's tomorrow, huh?
Yep, you're gonna be there.
I'm working until I realize I'm like.
I'm there. What time?
7 p.m.
If Nate Boyer is saying, hey, Brandon, come on. Oh, yeah. I'm there.
If you I can talk, yeah, to Roland coming. Sure. He's 13-year NBA vet.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. All right.
I'd love to have him. Seriously. It's happening.
Okay, all right.
Calling you out if it doesn't.
We're committing.
Maybe I'm crazy live from MVP.
Yeah. Tomorrow? Well, let's take a picture before we sweat, right?
Yes.
They always want to take the group picture after the workouts over.
Yeah, you can prove that you
I sound so you were working right now.
Yeah, prove you're working.
That is true. Thanks so much for joining us, Nate. We totally appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And thanks for everything that you do. And much respect.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it a lot.
Respect to you guys, too.
Yeah, thanks so much.
We about to turn up in this bitch.
All right, when am I winning or quitting today?
Is that? No?
No.
Okay. The Steelers and Browns played 75 minutes of hard-fought, wet AFC North football on Sunday. Six touchdowns were scored. The Browns forced six turnovers, and no one won the game. The good news is Tyrod Taylor is undefeated as the Browns' starting quarterback. The bad news is the Steelers aren't good enough to beat the Browns. Joy, the Browns may have tied the Steelers, but the Steelers definitely lost. With it or quit it.
With it for show. This game was just hideous. I couldn't even believe it. No one was trying to win this stupid football game. First of all, it was...
They were. They scored a lot of... They tried to...
No one was trying
to win.
They
won in the second overtime.
Did you see those kickers? I mean, please. You have one job.
Okay? One job.
It's not even that rainy.
Team sport.
I was very disappointed with the outcome of this game, especially since I picked Steelers to win the Super Bowl, so I look foolish. I'm not going to overreact to game one. Mm-hmm. But I think the bigger point that everyone's missing here with this little situation is, you know, Le'Veon Bell, he tweeted a little emoji with the monocle, and everyone's like, oh, he's being petty. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he's throwing shade. And he was like, no, I've just never seen a tie before. I'm pretty sure you've seen a tie before. So, like, no one really believes that. But everyone's like, oh, cool, James Conner, like, they're good. Stop comparing James Conner to Le'Veon Bell. Like, no disrespect to James Conner. James Conner had a nice game, okay?
Why can't you?
192 yards from scrimmage, okay? He led the NFL in week one. Like, great, awesome. Le'Veon Bell has years of proven excellence, all right? I can't stand with this. When this shit happens, like, there's a reason Le'Veon Bell is holding out. There's a reason he's one of the biggest stories in the NFL, and he's not on the field. Like, everyone just relax. Yes. Le'Veon Bell is an excellent football player, and I'm not saying James Conner didn't have a great game, because he did. Yes. But guess what, guys? Y'all still didn't motherfucking win. Okay, so everyone just chill out. You tied with the Browns. You haven't won a game in like 700 days. And that wasn't a win. It was a tie.
But the Browns.
It was. I don't want to hear it.
The
okay?
Browns are good. Like we. Wait,
no. So the Browns are not good.
Oh, I'm okay. We're not championing the Browns and what they've done.
I have a question.
Because they just tied with the Steelers.
Teacher, question. Me. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Did the Browns technically win the game? Did they get the dub?
Technically.
Yes.
When you say technically, are we literally technically?
Literally, was it considered a win?
Yes.
No. Wrong. Stop lying to the people. So look, like as far as the Browns go, like, cool, I guess you didn't lose, but it's not great for the Browns either.
Undefeated.
But it's way worse for the Steelers than it is for the Browns. There's that game was atrocious. Roethlisberger looked terrible. He had like 7,000 interceptions. Mm-hmm. It was just a nonsense game, and I'm not happy about it. And I feel like everyone is not giving the proper.
Talk to him.
I can't even find the word.
What you mean, man?
Like, keep it real about the Steelers. That game sucked. You can't tie the fucking Browns in week one when you have Le'Veon Bell not on the field. And I don't care how good James Conner was. Like, that's... You did not win. You did not win. By the way, thanks for that trade. I need James Conner.
Ooh, you got... you traded?
I had to drop Marvin Jones. I really feel like I fleeced that trade. James Conner in exchange for... James Conner and Emmanuel Sanders in exchange for Marvin Jones.
Oh, that's easy.
I won that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. That's not even a question.
For sure.
Anyways, the AFC North. Let me talk about this since the Ravens are in there. It's looking good for my boys. It's looking good for the old Ravens. It's looking good for the Ravens flock.
We'll get to the Ravens in a little bit, okay. But pump the brakes on them. Right?
The Steelers, after four preseason games, not on Hard Knocks, right, couldn't beat the Browns, who hadn't won a game since 2015? Is that
no,
right?
No, I'm telling you, it's a bad game for the Steelers, and it is not being emphasized enough how disappointing that start was for the Steelers. It's not good. I don't want to hear it. All right, what's next?
The NFL season ended early on Sunday when Aaron Rodgers was carted off to the locker room with a knee injury.
Or so we saw.
Then, in the third quarter, Packers fans' prayers were answered when A.A. Aaron rose from the dead like Jon Snow to beat the Bears 23-24, solidifying Rodgers as the active NFL GOAT. Joy, Skip Bayless is right. Aaron Rodgers is the LeBron James of the NFL. Win it or quit it.
Did you just say they won 23-20? Who reads a score like that?
I'm dyslexic.
Are you really? Because I don't think that you are.
Something's wrong with me.
Okay. yes, Skip is right to a degree. LeBron has done more winning than Aaron Rodgers has.
Oh, yeah.
Team sport. Look, here's the thing about Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. I like Aaron Rodgers. I think he is a great brand, and he is a great quarterback. He is not the best quarterback in the NFL, and I'm tired of hearing about it.
Who is?
Tom Brady is the best quarterback in the NFL. You can't go to 8 Super Bowls to 1. At one point or another, the amount of winning you do matters. What are you playing for? Cookies? You're playing for championships. I don't want to hear this shit anymore. I don't care how athletic Aaron Rodgers are. There's go to Equinox. There's some athletes in there, okay? They're not playing in the NFL. Like, it's cool. It's cute. I keep hearing about these, like, oh, he's got a big arm. You know, about a big arm? I want rings on these fingers.
He makes plays. That when he took the field 2 minutes and 36 seconds left, I was like, it's too much time on the clock.
Listen, Aaron Rodgers is incredible.
He's going to score before the 2 minute warning.
He beat the Bears and Khalil Mack on one leg. All right? Literally.
He's done it before. I mean, he's incredible. He's amazing.
He is the second best player in the NFL. Okay? Mm. So maybe he is the Kevin Durant of the NFL. If we're going to do that, if you'd like to make LeBron James the best player in the NBA, then he is the Kevin Durant.
LeBron James called him the GOAT. LeBron James tweeted, called him GOAT, tell him thank you for playing football.
He's incredible, okay? But just stop saying, and just disrespect for Tom Brady, his pocket presence is just despicable. So, Aaron Rodgers and his legs. Tom Brady won 5 Super Bowls. Like, what are you talking about? And don't give me Bill Belichick, all right? Cool. All right, great. Like, Bill Belichick is obviously a better coach than Mike McCarthy. But at one point or another, you got to go out on the field and you got to perform, all right? Tom Brady hasn't had excellent defenses every time he won the Super Bowl. I'm just tired of it. I don't want to hear it anymore, all right? Aaron Rodgers, totally incredible, but just stop it. Everyone's just overreaction Monday. Just chill out. He is not better than Tom Brady. Just stop it. It's disrespectful to the idea of winning and losing. Literally. That's not even worse.
Anyway,
that game was amazing.
Oh,
Khalil Mack was amazing.
Football's back.
And Aaron Rodgers getting carted off of the field was just the worst. I couldn't even believe it. Like, I was just watching it, like, how.
Why is he so fragile?
Is this happening? Fragile. Why is this happening? Why do we deserve this? Like, we don't deserve this.
I was excited about it.
What are you talking about?
DeShone Kizer going to get out there and prove that Notre Dame quarterbacks are good.
My eyes.
He has time. As long as Aaron Rodgers is healthy, DeShone Kizer is going to be an NFL pro for 10 years.
That's true. That is true. That is true. So he basically died. His season was over. Then he came back to life, which is why I called him Jon Snow. It's one of my best tweets of the year so far. What other pop culture figures have we compared him to?
I said Kenny.
Kenny
obviously,
from South Park
he died
good.
Every episode.
He does die. That's kind of a bit. That's a bit. He dies.
Brian Griffin from Family Guy, the dog. He died. He came back. I think that's the thing, right? Agent Smith from The Matrix. He always died. Came back.
Who?
Agent Smith from The Matrix. The guy that Keanu Reeves was fighting.
But he never really killed him because Agent Smith is like a
Aaron Rodgers. He never died.
Is a program. Yeah. I was very disappointed in these examples.
This Jesus Christ.
Here you go.
He's popular for doing that. It's the resurrection. Easter.
I hate you.
It's a whole holiday. And?
Pop culture figures.
And? Paul P.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Yeah, shout out Paul Pierce.
For most
dramatic exit.
I almost said Sir Stabs a lot, but I didn't.
Only to return.
I was so mad when they carried his limp body off that off that basketball. They rolled his and then he came out and they scored it. Mm-hmm. I was like, what is this?
That's how everyone felt.
What is this?
And that's kind of how I felt. That's how I felt with Aaron Rodgers until he went out there and won the game. And then I was like, I'm just glad that Aaron Rodgers is not done for the season. Although I can't even say that because we actually have no idea whether he is able to play or not. And we probably
day by
won't.
Day.
We probably won't. Yeah, he's taking it day by day. That's what we told
Dan Lebatard. This looks great for my pick for the Vikings to win the Super Bowl. What other person do you know who came back to life since my list was so bad? I heard Jack Sparrow did that in the Jack Sparrow movies.
I was relying on you for this. Jon Snow's obviously the best example.
Yeah, I mean.
And The Undertaker. It's his thing.
Yeah, it is. It's literally his thing.
Right. Hear ye, hear ye. John Gruden is petty. And I won't back down. If you hadn't heard, Khalil Mack's pretty good at the football. And he don't play for the Raiders no more.
At least in one half.
Yeah, Khalil Mack is, he's unbelievable. And he's unbelievable not playing any preseason and having like two practices with the Bears.
Yes.
And went out and had the single greatest half of any defensive
player,
lineman player ever in the history of the NFL.
Well, since.
Since the last time he had it. So he's pretty fucking good, and he doesn't play for the Raiders anymore.
No.
And Gruden came out and said that it was pretty clear that he did not want to play for the Raiders. He said he didn't want to play for the Raiders, and he knows that because he didn't show up for OTAs and he didn't show up for training camp. And it's almost like that's not how it works.
I know it's not how it works, but he's not like he's not okay.
Not to mention, from all accounts, they did a terrible job of communicating with Khalil and Khalil's people.
Right. Yes.
So, I mean, you lost Khalil Mack. Like, that's it. Like, you got some draft picks. I'm spinning mad. You lost Khalil Mack,
yeah.
And that's a fact that you just got draft picks for Khalil Mack. So,
and now he's pissed.
We're gonna now he's pissed. He's trying to literally rip people's heads off, and I'm okay with it. And it was super exciting to watch,
great.
And it was amazing fodder for everyone because it's like, bah! And then the Raiders went out and lost.
The Bears lost too. That's important to note.
The Bears did lose. Not because of Khalil Mack, though.
No.
They lost because they chose to draft Mitchell Trubisky instead of Deshaun Watson.
And I want to constantly shit on John Gruden on this podcast because I like to. But he was not wrong when he said Khalil Mack was really good last year for the Raiders, and they didn't win a lot of games.
Listen, I'm not saying that Khalil Mack is a quarterback, because he's not.
Right.
But Khalil Mack was unbelievable, and he was a huge difference maker in that game. And more importantly, like the petty part of this is, like, John Gruden is a master at saying things with a smile on his face. He's so good at it. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's not even like that crazy smile where you're like, oh, yeah? That's what you really think?
That makes me uncomfortable.
Ah, that's what you think, huh? Got it. Like, he's so good at saying, like the way he said it was, well, you know, Khalil, he didn't want to play here. Because he wasn't at training camp and he wasn't at OTAs.
I know. Because I read it
and
one way.
He ends it with, like, the smirk.
Yes.
You can hear it.
I felt one way reading it, and then I saw him do it. I was like,
oh, yeah, so he's
like,
I was
like, Khalil Mack didn't want to be there.
It totally makes sense. Except for it doesn't make sense, because that's what happens right. when you hold out. Look, it's way too soon to tell who won this. I feel like the Bears won it.
Yeah.
But we're going to see. I know it's the first week, so everyone is completely overreacting to everything, except for the Steelers, because you just can't tie the Browns.
Right.
But I feel good in saying that the Raiders made a colossal mistake in letting Khalil Mack go.
When Bruce Irving had his first sack, you see how happy John Gruden was? He was like, yes! I have my own Khalil Mack, and he's number 51. No. That was that one sack, and then Jared Goff and Sean McVay kicked ass.
Jeff is actually kind of a funny
I like
name
Jeff,
for
Jeff
Jared Goff.
Goff.
Yeah, and shout out to the Rams too, who are going to be they're my Super Bowl pick.
What? We are the Super Bowl pick to play against the Steelers.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
What are you talking about?
I overreacted. Overreaction
Clearly.
Tuesday.
Clearly. Yes, the Rams are a Super Bowl pick because they're so – for having a team that is just completely loaded with huge names, they are completely quiet.
Mm.
It's remarkable.
Yeah.
They are just a complete reflection of Sean McVay. Just like young, big name, but we don't know anything about them.
Yeah.
And even though we know things about the players that are on
All
the team, like
them.
We know about Ndamukong Suh,
yes.
it's like we don't know what the Rams are. What they are is fucking good. And they're going to be great this year.
Yeah, Mark Schlereff brought up some people use the first couple games of the season as preseason. That's what it felt like for the Rams. I was like, they knew how good they were.
Right.
They went out there and was like working out in the first half. And by the second half, it was a freaking scrimmage. Marcus Peters is pick-sixing Derek Carr, who doesn't do that very often, unlike Matt Stafford.
And shout out Todd Gurley, because, you know, he just had to get that extra 0.24. Fantasy points, you know, I was up all weekend. I'm up. Appreciate it. But they're going to be good this year. All right. Time for Lit List.
Ooh, it's lit.
at the Lunch Show. Ooh.
All right, so all Sam Darnold. Speaking of overreaction Mondays.
Where's the overreaction? I don't know what you said yet. Go. Say things. I'm sorry.
Look, if I'm a Jets fan, which I'm not anymore, I had 1 year of being a Jets fan. It was lovely. Yes. It's a great thing.
You can dip your toe in the water.
You can be as happy as you want to be about Sam Darnold. And that first pick six, it's an oversight. That's going to be a funny blooper on the end of his career. We'll be like, remember that time his very first pass was pick six?
Like they told him on the sideline.
And then they went along to beat the Lions, which really just, they truly don't get enough attention for being completely shitty as an organization.
I feel like it's something that people in the 313 area in Detroit and in Michigan like embrace and don't like talking about it. Like how bad the Lions are, but like it doesn't get enough national attention.
No, it doesn't. And I think, you know what I think it is? I think it's Detroit. Like, I think people have so much respect for Detroit that it's like, you know what, we're not gonna talk bad about how bad, like, we all know the Lions are
historically
bad.
We lost our Hall of Fame player because we refused to draft linemen to make him great. Like, we've been bad the entire time.
Right, forever. And
the entire time.
It never gets any better. And I truly don't think they get enough respect for how horrible they are as an organization. That being said, Sam Darnold, making everybody look silly, except for Colin Coward, because he's always been on the Sam Darnold thing. I feel like as good as Sam Darnold played, how was this even a discussion that he should not have gone number one overall? Like, is it the Browns' goal to just always not get the right person? Or it's almost like, what do we need? Okay, let's get the opposite of that.
Okay, how
and I'm not about to say, like, I'm off Baker Mayfield thing, because I do very much
we
think
like
that
interesting.
Baker Mayfield is going to be good. He's going to play sooner than we think, because the better Sam Darnold plays, the more the Browns owners are going to be like, Baker, like, where's Baker at? And they play pretty soon.
No, the better Sam Darnold plays, the more the Browns are going to be like, what the f*** did we do? That's what they're going to say.
Yeah, of course. But that's because Baker's not out there.
He had four incomplete passes.
They're going to want to prove that they did the right thing by taking Baker number one overall.
Yeah.
And, you know, once again, the Browns didn't win this week. I know everybody's freaking out. Like, it's this big improvement for the Browns that they're tying.
They didn't lose for the first time in a long time. They didn't lose this week, and that's huge.
I mean, what a life. Anyway, shout out to shout out to Sam Darnold on a really great start.
I have a lot of friends that play for the Lions. I don't know if you know a couple of my friends in the NFL. And it's just hard to talk bad because my friends are mainly on the offensive side of the ball. And it's Matt Stafford, and he's just so bad at throwing.
All right, well, let's save a little bit because they're in loser power rankings. So
okay, we
can spend more time on how bad they are. Yeah. So the Patriots, remember the time that the Patriots team didn't have any receivers and they were, like, going to be so bad this year? There's Tom Brady and there's Bill Belichick. They weren't getting along and, like, possibly he's going to retire. They're going to trade Gronk. Remember all that? Well, nope, didn't happen, and they're not dead yet. Like I told you, I'm not ready to be out on the Patriots just
one
yet.
Game.
Okay, they looked pretty good.
Overreaction Monday. The Patriots aren't dead.
Overreaction Monday. The Patriots aren't. They haven't walked off a cliff yet. Shocker.
It's going to take some time.
Oh, it is.
Die slowly.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be a slow kill.
All right.
It's going to get bad.
They won. Unlike the Steelers, they won this week. So. And on the lit list is Saquon and OBJ. Not so much Eli, but we do like that they played well.
Yeah.
I'm still holding out hope that they're going to pull it all together, because I like when the big market teams are good, because I like interesting. And whatever with the Jags
are very interesting.
Oh my God,
they are.
Are we doing this again this year?
Jacksonville Jaguars are an interesting football team. They just beat. Everyone was talking about how great the NFL Giants were going to be.
No, not everyone.
NFL New York Giants, whatever the heck you want. The Giants, the ones that
the
play
New York
football.
Giants over the NFL Giants.
Yeah, the NFL.
You
ones.
Mean like their actual name, the New York Giants?
New York Giants. Yeah, those.
Yeah.
Everyone's talking about how great they're going to be, and guess what?
No, everyone wasn't talking about how great they were going to be.
No, we weren't talking about how. OBJ, Saquon Barkley, they've answered all the problems. We had LaDainian Thompson here talking about how they were great, and I was like, you forget that they have a new coach?
Let LT speak for himself. I didn't say that.
Yeah, that's fair. But a lot of people were.
I may have said that.
He probably said something he read, though. So everybody was talking about it. So people were talking about it.
Anyway, I'm just glad that Saquon and OBJ are good, because that's good for fantasy, you know, which we like around here. And I'm still out on the Jags, just to be clear. All right, loser power rankings.
Loser power rankings. These are the losers of the week.
All right. Kind of didn't get enough attention on our shows because we got a lot of football to cover. But right. Serena Williams was involved in an incident with this umpire named Carlos Ramos, who cited Serena three times for getting coaching signals during the U.S. Open final. She was also fined $17,000, and she lost to Naomi. Mm-hmm. And it was a huge deal over the weekend, and the umpire is a huge loser this week, and mainly because, first of all, Serena is the queen, and just give her some respect. Like, right. There's certain people in certain sports where you just give respect to. Like, they're the greatest,
like, unquestioned,
and you give them respect. Right. Like, Tom Brady gets the call,
right.
Because he's Tom Brady.
Like, the ball should bounce in Serena's way,
right?
Yes,
right. And you don't cite her three fucking times. And but the bigger picture is obviously, like, she made a big deal about it, as she should have. And
you're
then
a word
he felt
that,
like
that people are talking
he,
about.
Okay, it was obviously sexist and clearly racist. Like, not because the Naomi is white, because she's not. She's no. Haitian and Japanese.
Right.
The point is,
shouts out to her, by the way.
Yes, because it was a huge moment from her, which is also mm-hmm. stolen from her.
Right.
Like, she lost her moment. Serena got put into this category of being, like, ungrateful and spoiled. And you've got cartoonists out here doing this Jim Crow bullshit. And it's like,
at least he's not from America, but like the illustrating black people, period. Like, is there not a guy that
there's
it goes?
There's no one. It's just like Halloween.
Hire
this year.
Black people.
It's just like Halloween this year. There's going to be a white celebrity that does blackface because they can't figure it out. There's always going to be this person. Yes, diversity will save you from this. It's not just a thing that we came up with. Like, if you actually have a diverse staff, someone may be like, huh. This is offensive.
Yes, erase
this.
No,
you can trust me because, as you can see, I would know. This is offensive. Don't
this
run
is
with
triggering.
That. Don't run with that. I'm triggered, and therefore the rest of my people will be as well.
When you said Halloween celebrity, I just imagined Ellen dressing up as The Rock and painting her body.
Ellen
I just want to say
never.
That. I just want to say. I just want to put that mind. Whatever
never.
Happened in my head, I want to put in everybody else's head. Ellen dressed up as The Rock.
Ellen.
Go.
Would never.
Moana.
And Ellen, you know how Ellen would never? Because Ellen already dresses up as everybody, and she doesn't do that.
Yes. No, I'm not saying.
She dressed up as Nicki Minaj's boobs.
Yes. Yeah, she did that. She did that. She should have dressed up as Eve's boobs.
With the paw prints? Missed the paw prints.
Rough Rider.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry for sidetracking.
Anyway, so huge loser this week, and shout out Serena. She did everything right. And don't hit me with the she was being a baby. The men flip out all the time. They break their rackets. They scream and holler. They call the umpires' names, and it's all just testosterone. So fuck off with that. All right, Cowboys offense, huge loser this week, and it sucks because we really need the Cowboys to be interesting. So let's get it together. All right, like Dak, let's connect with Cole Beasley. Do that little thing you guys do.
They don't have any receivers either.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a problem because they don't have Tom Brady, and that's like we're gonna get this train rolling. All right, I get it. Panthers are very good. Their defense is very good, but we're gonna need to get that together. And
that's
finally,
my fantasy football draft.
What
defense? You criticized me for drafting defense so early. Got the Panthers. Got me some points.
We'll get to the update at the end of the
thing. Okay, I'm sorry.
By the way, you should have that ready for the end. Just
okay.
And finally, the Bills. Woo! Oh my God, are the Bills? Are just fucking awful. So the Bills, their second worst loss in franchise history. Last in week one in points. We could guess that. Total yards and pass yards. And we can't forget the Lions, who allowed 48 points, which is the most in the NFL, and 39 rush yards, which was the last in the NFL. But we gave the Lions a little love for being terrible earlier. So let's talk about the Bills. Okay, so when you had Tyrod Taylor, you hadn't been, this is what I don't understand. Okay, so you hadn't been to the playoffs in like a jillion years, right?
Right.
And you have Tyrod Taylor, and then you miraculously make the playoffs. Like, you get lucky and make the playoffs, but you made the playoffs. So
shouts out Andy Dalton.
Like, no, you can't take that away from you.
Right.
And then you decide to get rid of Tyrod Taylor because he's the problem. Nathan Peterman threw 5 interceptions in like 35 seconds. And that's who you go with as your starting quarterback. And then you draft Josh Allen. So now what are you going to do? Because you put Josh Allen in and he's just as bad. Which is no surprise because you knew Josh Allen wasn't going to be good when you drafted him. Which is why you planned on starting Nathan Peterman and having Josh Allen learn from Nathan Peterman. I don't understand. Like, do people watch football? Or like, I don't fancy myself a football expert. But like, Nathan Peterman, that's really bad. It's bad.
On paper.
On paper and like literally in real life too.
Yeah.
So why is that? Like, the whole concept of, oh, we have a rookie quarterback, we want him to sit. Like, yes, sit behind Tyrod Taylor, who you've had. But not anymore. Now he's at the Browns. And right. you want Josh Allen to learn from Nathan Peterman? And no diss to Nathan Peterman, like notorious Nate P. I feel you. Like, I'm not trying to diss you, but this is not good.
This is not good. Bad on the field.
The Bills are going to be the Browns of last year this year.
As long as it's not the Browns.
I don't know that they're going to win a game.
Yeah, LeSean McCoy.
I'm going to need LeSean McCoy to get a lot of points, though, while they're not winning.
Yes. For your, we'll get to that later.
Mm-hmm. All right. What's in the culture report this week?
Well, first off, late last week on Friday, we lost Mac Miller.
Yes.
It was very sad. A lot of people in the hip hop industry were posting pictures. And for someone who was, I don't know if he was ever the most popular rapper at every point in time, but he left a big influence on everyone around him. He was a very positive guy. When he first came out, his like sign was the thumbs up and the big smile, and he was just like a good dude and great at rapping. You knew Mac Miller?
I don't really know Mac like that. I mean, yeah. He's from Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. obviously, so a lot of ties to a lot of friends of mine from Pittsburgh, and he was very, very well loved in Pittsburgh. Huge Steelers fans, mm-hmm. who's always at games and Pirates games, and just a big like proponent for the city. And it, like, always supported other local talent there.
Right.
And so I know, like, there's a tribute at Blue Slide Park, which you wouldn't know about because you're not from Pittsburgh, but it's also part of one of his albums.
Yeah.
I remember his first mixtape, Kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he was a very talented kid, obviously very sad at overdose. So, you know, stay away from the drugs.
Yes.
But we wanted to give him a shout out because he was a special kid and he influenced a lot of people.
Okay, now into the culture report. Unfortunate beef between Cardi B and Nicki Minaj has gone from throwing bars at each other in diss tracks to throwing shoes at each other at parties. Yes, on Friday at 10:53 p.m., I did some research, in New York City, Cardi B took off her shoe and threw it at Nicki Minaj, although the rappers have been feuding for years now since the release of Migos' Motorsport back in the day. Things got physical after Nicki allegedly stepped on the train of Cardi B's dress. After Cardi B rushed after Nicki, who was protected by a wall of bodyguards. During the scuffle, one of the bodyguards of Nicki's accidentally elbowed Cardi B, leaving her with a big lump on her left eye.
Mm-hmm.
Nicki went on Queen Radio and said that she was humiliated and embarrassed to be a part of perpetuating the narrative that drama and violence follows some of the biggest hip hop names out there. We really need these New York queens to bury the hatchet. These women have families to provide for and stuff, and I don't want them to catch a charge or something. It's like messy.
Yeah.
You don't. It was a fashion icon awards, and they just went full street fight.
Listen, real ones do real things. Okay, first of all, never forget that. I don't care where I am. If that is about to pop off, you gotta do what you gotta do. All right, we're doing the same. Look, I don't, the whole like fashion icon thing, like, okay, like, it's whatever. You don't know what these people do in their homes, okay? All these uppity people, well,
they have fights.
Listen,
secretly
I
in
get
their
what
home.
Nicki is saying, okay? She's worked very hard for her reputation, mm-hmm. and she doesn't want to be involved in a fight
right.
in some nice place. Yep. But guess what? This shit is popping. So you can't be talking shit. And on somebody else, like on Cardi, Cardi's talking shit on you, and you think like when you go out in public, shit might not pop off. It might pop off, and it popped off. Like literally, her shoe popped off and blew your head. Yeah, like these are things that can happen.
Bunch
like I don't know what the real like. I don't think any of us really know what the actual genesis of this beef is.
Right.
And I say that beef like okay, because I mean we're gonna get to it. Like how real is like what's beef? For real anymore. Yeah. Okay. Like I don't need Cardi B and Nicki fighting because I like both of them and I don't need to be picking sides. I got to pick sides enough already in life. Mm. All right. So I just want to listen to Nicki and I just want to listen to Cardi and I don't have to explain myself. Okay. But
who you listen to more?
That being said, it's equal because Nicki just put out a new album.
Yeah,
okay. Sure. So it's not one or the other. I'm just saying if you are beefing with someone, it don't matter where you are. Like, if you run into them, it's on site. Like, what do you mean? Hands on site.
I can't celebrate these rappers fighting.
I'm going to just tell it like this.
What?
I'm not interested in violence, okay? It's not my thing.
Right.
Mostly because I don't remember when I'm violent. So it's not a good thing for me to be involved in, okay? That being said, Yes. If I if something happens and it's time, it's time. Like this is what it is.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's not like what do they do, right?
Yeah.
Do they sew for a living? No, you rap. Like you guys have beef. You have you've exchanged bars. Okay? And Nikki went on saying like she's never talked about someone's child. That's false. False. False.
You're just saying false?
It is false. It's facts. It's false. I love Nikki, but it's facts. It's false. You write your own lyrics, right? I know what you remember what you said about Remy Ma.
Yes. And she just talked about Stormy.
I mean, are we keeping it all the way funky or not?
She just talked about Stormy. And this Queen Radio thing that she has, I listened to this last one. It was like 15, 30 minutes. She sounds nuts.
No, Nikki is mad, and rightfully so.
All eight personalities are there and present, just going in and out, right around.
She has a right to be angry. I'm not picking sides against either of these queens, okay? I love Cardi.
Yes.
I love Nikki. Mm-hmm. I just want everybody to get along, okay? Because I really need to listen to both of you. So let's squash all of it. That being said, you got beef.
Rolling into the beef, let's stay on that one. The Drake and Three Amigos tour made a stop in Boston Saturday night. During the concert, Drizzy brought out a surprise performance from Robert Kraft's favorite rapper, Philly Sports, Good Luck Charm, Meek Mills. These two rappers have been beefing since 2015 after Meek Mill accused Drake of not writing his own bars, and Drizzy solidified himself as unwittable by releasing the best diss track any of us have heard in recent history, back to back. Champagne Poppy posted the picture of himself and Meek Mill on his Instagram page with
so
the caption,
smiley.
Oh, so smart. Don't you know when you see a picture
smiley.
Where, like, they just posted it because they look good?
Yes.
I was like, yeah, I don't post that to show anybody. Like, there's one of them hugging that other people posted. Drake looked great in that photo. Just big, big, cheesy,
well,
just smiling.
Well, you're always going to post your favorite picture.
Yeah.
Who posts the other person's favorite picture?
Sometimes I just don't post if I look the best and someone else doesn't, you know?
Well, that's nice of you.
Yeah, thank you. Anyways, the caption on Drake's page said, "This really gave me peace of mind tonight. Healing and moving forward created one of the most electric and gratifying moments of my career. At Meek Mill, I'm happy you're home. I'm glad we can find our way back to a joint purpose. Cue the Kevin Garnett, anything is possible ad lib." That's kind of cute, right?
I love it.
Right?
I told you, I don't have time for these beefs, okay? I just need to be able to listen to music. And I don't need to have an explanation for why I'm doing it. I don't. Because in the end,
yes.
This is what it is.
Mm.
Which we're performing together on stage.
Yeah, that's all it is. Side note, also Heidi Klum said on Ellen actually that she left Drake on red when he asked her out for a date, and she just want to let everybody know that people are talking about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Lastly, and after winning an Emmy for his producer role in Jesus Christ Superstar, live in concert, John Legend became the first Black man to achieve the legendary EGOT status. For those sports fans who don't know, an EGOT represents a performer who has received an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony Award. He's one of the only 15 people who have reached the EGOT status, including Audrey Hepburn, Mel Brooks, and Whoopi Goldberg. He was named after,
Goldberg.
How do you say it?
It's not Goldborg.
Goldberg?
Yes.
Goldberg. Whoopi. At Whoopi yeah, one
yes,
too.
You easily could have just
she was
said
the other
Whoopi.
One, Whoopi.
We know Goldberg. Who Whoopi is.
Goldberg.
Yes.
Whoopi.
Anyway,
is she Jewish?
Shout out
John Legend.
Yes.
Yeah.
Goldberg. All right. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast. Before we go, we have to give you an update on the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast Fantasy Football League. I would like to shout out the Unstoppable Force for ruining my night last night. It's very annoying. I lost by 0.24 points. That's not a whole point. That's 0.24 exactly.
Ooh, yeah, that kinda hurts a little
because
bit.
He had fucking Todd Gurley, who you know,
kinda
I just
off.
Yes, a little bit. Yeah. I had Roethlisberger this week, who will not be starting for me next week. Evan Ingram did less than nothing for me, which is just incredibly annoying.
Yeah, it's tough.
That said, yeah. My bench was completely useless except for Tevin Coleman, who I obviously should have had in there as my flex. And everyone else got zero. My other quarterback was Matt Stafford, so I think that goes without saying that it wasn't a really good.
While he was doing well, I was like, yeah, good thing he's on the bench.
Yes.
Yes. You don't get points for the bench, right?
That can't possibly be a serious question.
Yeah, exactly. I think so.
So, who was in first place quickly, and how did you do?
I did great. They projected me to lose, but they don't understand God's plan.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like they just like it's just yeah. like you gotta understand. Anyways, drunk it's drunken, but it's got the threes. Drunken Monkeys is in first place, followed by Philly Special. Then third place, your boy God's Plan. I'm here. Blazers in fourth place, the Unstoppable Force in fifth. Wince of a Lifetime in sixth place. You're in ninth place.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just not great. Six. I wanted to skip to you. The person that was facing me was supposed to win, Adam, aka Chronic Mass Deflator,
is in last place. Yeah. So my issue is that the there's a lot more points
to get.
Yeah. Than I need to get.
Yeah.
So anyway, next week will be better. I will be winning. And
Kirk Cousins did well for me. Very, very well.
Whatever.
Ezekiel Elliott did very well.
I gotta do something about the quarterback situation. It's not good. It's not good. But I did win that trade though. I won that trade.
Yes.
Also,
yes.
We are still doing fan hot take-a-ritas.
Yes.
So make sure you send in whatever it is you feel, whatever's on your sports heart.
Give me the takes.
Email it to maybeimcrazypod at fox. That's incorrect. Erase that. micpodcast@fox.com.
I know what the email is.
micpodcast@fox.com.
Yes.
Eliminate what I said before that. And you can also send it in on DM to @maybeimcrazypod on Instagram. So if you don't have Instagram, you can just email it to us. Keep it 60 seconds to 30 seconds, you know, because we're going to pop it on the internet. And don't get angry if people disagree with you, because that's kind of how this works.
Yes.
So we want to hear from you. Send in your hot takes. micpodcast@fox.com and maybeimcrazypod on Instagram. Thanks so much to Nate Boyer for joining us this week. Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining us wherever you're watching or listening. Make sure you go subscribe to the new YouTube page.
Yes, please.
Maybe
please,
I'm Crazy please, Podcast YouTube page. Please, share with your friends. Leave comments. And follow us on all our social media pages at maybeimcrazypod. And we'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm not.